Hello, and welcome to the Eve Reader Podcast. My name is Zendane, and this is episode 68, The Galente-Kaldari War. Chapter 1, The Early Years. By the time the Galente Federation was founded, 2 centuries ago, the Kaldari corporations were already well established in Kaldari society. Although not nearly as powerful as they are today, they were still preeminent in Kaldari economic life. Shortly after Jumpgate technology was jointly discovered by the Galente and the Kaldari, a little over 500 years before the Federation was formed, the Kaldari corporations had started their own interstellar surveying and colonization, separate from that conducted by the Galente. It was these colonies, kept as a secret from the Galente, that became the source of friction between the Galente and the Kaldari, culminating in the latter's defection from the Federation and an ensuing war between the two races. It all started when a Galente exploration ship happened upon one of the hidden Kaldari colonies. When the Federation Senate learned of this, they demanded a full-scale investigation into the matter, and that all hidden Kaldari colonies should immediately be put under Federation authority. This was too much for the Kaldari corporations, which were already grumbling over increasing Federation interference into their affairs. For the Kaldari, it was a simple question of losing their autonomy forever by caving in, or making a stand right then and there. They decided to make a stand. What made the situation so tense right from the start was a situation on Kaldari Prime. Being located in the same solar system as Galente Prime made the Galente very nervous and, more importantly, a sizable Galente population was living on Kaldari Prime. Right after the Kaldari defected from the Federation, they focused on securing the jump gates leading to their once hidden bases, as those bases provided the backbone to the Kaldari military infrastructure at that time. At the same time, the Galente moved their fleet into orbit around Kaldari Prime and started blockading the planet. For the next few days, nothing much happened. The Kaldari were content to sit by the jump gates while the Galente were debating how to best negotiate a peace agreement. But the Kaldari population on Kaldari Prime were restless. They found the Galente blockade intolerable, and soon small-scale guerrilla activities escalated into all-out hostilities. In the end, the Galente population on the planet had to pay the price for the Federation's indecisiveness. The turning point came when Kaldari partisans sabotaged the glass dome of a Galente-inhabited underwater city. More than 500,000 perished. From then on, a lengthy, bloody war between the two races was all but inevitable. The Federation retaliated at once by sending down an invasion force to Kaldari Prime and began a systematic orbital bombardment of the planet. Soon, the Kaldari population had been driven into the mountains and the forests, their resistance getting weaker by the day. The only question was, how would the newly formed Kaldari state respond? Chapter 2, The Breakout. Following the attack of the underwater city on Kaldari Prime, an extreme right-wing government grabbed the power reins in the Galente Federation and advocated a harsh response, bombing Kaldari Prime and sending in troops to take control of the planet. Those within the Federation, believing that peace talks should be initiated instead of an invasion, didn't dare speak up for fear of being branded cowards, or worse, traitors. Thus, the Galente war machine ground into gear. It soon became obvious that it was a question of when, and not if, the Galente would take full control of the planet. The newly formed Kaldari government, led by the heads of the corporations, was far from being in full agreement as to what the correct course of action would be. This disagreement, which severely hampered the Kaldari state in following a coherent strategy, was only settled after the Morning of Reasoning, when the 6 most militant corporations jointly ousted the other CEOs from power. The Kaldari saw that it was impossible to try to fight the much larger Galente Federation for control of Kaldari Prime. Instead, they started devising a plan to evacuate the Kaldari population on the planet. For the plan to work, an evacuation window of at least 1 month had to be created by the Kaldari Navy. It had to keep the Galente fleet occupied and away from the planet for this period of time to allow the thousands of civilian and cargo vessels gathered for the evacuation to operate safely. The Kaldari High Command knew their fleet was heavily outnumbered and outgunned by the Galente fleet, but they put their faith in several advantages. First, the surprise factor would help them in the initial stages. Secondly, the ferocity of Kaldari personnel, fighting for their home and their families, would carry them through a lot of hardship. And thirdly, the Galente ships orbiting Kaldari Prime were large and cumbersome, little more than shooting platforms ideal for orbital bombardment. The Kaldari hoped their small, fast, one-man fighters would run circles around the Galente ships. It is doubtful whether the above-mentioned advantages had sufficed for the Kaldari, but they enjoyed one further advantage that they knew nothing about. The extreme right-wing faction that held the reins of power in the Federation was getting paranoid. They saw conspirators in every corner and started firing prominent figures from the administration and the army, replacing them with eager yes-men with little experience and even less initiative. The result was total chaos in the Galente war effort. This chaos was not enough to completely halt the military operations on and around Caldari Prime, but it made the Galente fleet and army ill-prepared for any drastic changes. It was thus with relative ease that the Caldari fleet managed to take control of the orbital zones of Caldari Prime and drive the Galente fleet back. Even the most optimistic of the Caldari were taken by surprise, and there were even talks that the Caldari fleet should continue to Galente Prime and repay the Galente by bombing their home planet. But the more level-headed of the Caldari knew that decisively defeating the Galente home fleet was impossible. Indeed, it would be hard enough to defend against it once it arrived to reclaim the space around Caldari Prime. So instead, the Caldari High Command quickly set into motion their evacuation program, and soon millions of Caldari were leaving the planet for their new homes. 2 weeks passed. More than half the Caldari population was still on the planet. Both sides employed dozens of scout ships to gauge the strength and intentions of the other. It was becoming obvious to the Caldari that the Galente were preparing a massive assault on Caldari Prime to drive the Galente out and resume their military conquest of the planet. A new plan was needed. Days passed and desperation began seeping in. The Galente attack was imminent. Finally, the Caldari Admiral, Yakia Tovel Toba, took matters into his own hands. He led the few dozen ships he commanded and jumped to Galente Prime. Before the stunned Galente could respond, he had attacked and destroyed a few stray Galente ships. But the Galente were quick to recover, and before long, Admiral Tovel Toba was on the run. However, he managed to drive the advancing Galente off and retreated to the moon of Floro. The Galente stopped their pursuit to gather their forces and lick their wounds. The two fleets clashed again the next day, and again Admiral Tovel Toba showed his remarkable tactical skills and managed to withdraw relatively unscathed. Tovel Toba played this game of cat and mouse with the Galente for a whole week, except he was in the role of the mouse. Eventually, only one of his ships remained, a badly damaged fighter carrier. With his dying breath, Admiral Tovel Toba directed the huge vessel down towards Galente Prime. On entering the atmosphere, the ship broke into several burning pieces, killing all aboard. But the largest of these pieces reached the ground and one of them hit the city of Hiramal, killing roughly 2 million people. Admiral Tovel Toba and his crew sacrificed themselves in order for millions more Caldari to escape. To this day, he is revered as a national hero, and his name is one of the first things every Caldari child learns. The turmoil in the Federation created by the Hiramo incident, as the Galente knew it, toppled the right-wing government and a new one took over, this one more willing to listen to those wishing for peace. The weak bought by Tovel Toba in the ensuing confusion following in the wake of the new government gave the Caldari enough time to finish the evacuation of Caldari Prime. Only a small fighting force remained, acting as a guerrilla force. One would imagine that peace would now be settled, but that wasn't to be. A large faction of the Galente Federation was neither willing to forgive or forget the blows inflicted upon it during the war. Likewise, the Caldari, elated by their success and their belief in superior fighting power with their small one-man fighters, dreamed of returning one day to their home planet. The war was to rage for several years yet, and several stunning military victories by the Caldari following their breakout soon led the Galente into a desperate search for an answer against the highly trained one-man fighters that lay at the core of the Caldari victories. Chapter 3. The War Drones On. The bitter ferocity in the first stages of the war fueled the animosity and ill will between the two races, killing all hope of peace for years to come. The Caldari were getting stronger by the day as refugees from Caldari Prime started to settle in, while the Galente were still in a state of confusion following the fall of the fascist regime. The Caldari mounted a series of raids into Federation territory, which the Galente and their slow and cumbersome ships were ill-equipped to meet. But the might of the Federation was too much for the Caldari to overcome, and their raids, even if successful in a military sense, had little impact besides draining the morale of the Galente and bolstering their own. After a while, the Caldari agenda became clear. They were willing to sign peace if the Federation would return Caldari Prime and acknowledge the newly formed Caldari state. But the Galente couldn't agree to those demands for two reasons. One, they were loath to admit a sovereign state into their midst, close to their own home planet, and were unwilling to uproot the sizable Galente population on Caldari Prime. And second, the Galente were not alone in the Federation, and if they allowed the Caldari to leave, the Intakis and the Manars, both of them starting to flex their economic and political muscles, might be tempted to follow, thus throwing their whole society into turmoil. The Galente were forced to regard the Caldari as rebels and renegades, and had to try to get them back into the Federation, with good or evil. For a while, the Federation could do little else than watch the Caldari play havoc upon the Galente fleet and the outermost provinces of the Federation. The Caldari were getting ever bolder, and every few months they seemed to have a new and improved design of their nimble solo fighters, which the Federation had few answers against. To many Galente, it seemed inevitable that, unless their demands were met, the Caldari would sooner or later overrun the whole Federation. Everything the Galente had tried failed. Their attempts for their own solo fighters were an utter failure, and stationary defenses such as mines and sentry guns could only go so far in protecting space facilities for so long. It seemed like every time the Galente came up with something sleek and speedy and powerful, the Caldari would soon respond with something even sleeker and more powerful. Finally, the solution evolved from, of all things, the stationary defenses. The Galente had employed mines for quite some time with mediocre results, but with the massive advances in robotics technology taking place at the time, the mines were slowly transformed into a far deadlier object. The first drones were little more than mines with proximity detonators and some limited mobility capabilities, but soon they had advanced to the level that a single drone almost rivaled a solo fighter's capabilities. The fact that drones were many times cheaper to build than fighters and did not require a highly trained pilot meant that the days of the solo fighters were numbered. The drones reversed the tide of the war, and now the Caldari were scrambling to come up with a solution against these new weapons. It didn't take them that long. They simply upgraded their fighters a bit, added some shields and extra weapons, and called the new vessels frigates. Some extra crew was also needed at first, but then the Caldari obtained capsule technology from the Jovians several years later and could again reduce the crew to one on most frigates. The climactic battle of the war was fought near the system of Ayan Ursta. Both sides, the Galente with their drones and the Caldari with their new frigates, were confident of victory and thus were willing to throw everything they had into the battle. The result was the second largest space battle ever fought in the New Eden Cluster, second only to the Battle of Vak Atioth fought during the Amara-Jove War. The Battle of Ayan Ursta raged for an entire day. During a lapse in the action, after almost 15 hours of constant fighting, the Caldari withdrew in a stately fashion, leaving the battlefield to the Galentians. The Galentians claimed victory as a side retaining the battlefield, but the Caldari also claimed victory, as they had inflicted considerably more losses and casualties on the Galente than they'd received themselves. In any case, there was no decisive victory by either side, and it was becoming obvious to everyone that such a victory would never be obtained. With frigates, the Caldari managed to stem the tide of the advancing Federation, and before long, a stalemate again ensued. Shortly, normal life returned for most people, the war becoming a distant thunderstorm that only occasionally rattled the populace as a whole. Neither side was willing to offer peace for fear it might be taken as a sign of weakness, but the new generation growing up on both sides were willing to sacrifice themselves for such an uncertain cause. So the war slowly faded into small-scale border skirmishes and raids. The matter was finally settled when Concord, at that point a relatively new entity that had yet to truly establish itself, decided that the war, posing as it did a threat to New Eden's diplomatic and economic stability, had gone on long enough. Sensing tiredness on both sides after the Ayan Ursta battle, they used the opportunity to open peace talks between the two adversaries and were able, within 6 months, to broker a ceasefire agreement acceptable to both sides. The Federation acknowledged the Caldari state as sovereign, and both sides were able to retain their original outposts and settlements, except for Caldari Prime, which remained under Federation control. This concludes today's reading of The Galente-Caldari War. Thank you for listening. If you're interested in learning more about the rich history of the EVE universe, please visit the EVE Chronicle site at community.eveonline.com/backstory/chronicles. Copyright information regarding the Chronicles in this podcast may be found at evereader.org/copyright.html. No materials were harmed during the making of this show.